What is the one thing you want them to hear before we wrap this up?
I just go back and listen to the part, which we've talked about it the whole entire podcast, but pick out the parts about intention and how to be intentional. It'll change the way that you live your life. It'll change your performance. It'll change your relationships, all of it. Like overall, your quality of life will change if you just get more intentional. I won't waste another
minute. No, I won't. Here's the million-dollar question. How do men like us reach our full potential, grow into the men we dream of being, while taking care of our responsibilities, working, being good husbands, fathers, and still take care of ourselves? Well, that's the big question. In this podcast, we'll help you answer those questions and more. My name is Brent, and welcome to the Fallible Man Podcast. Welcome to the Fallible Man Podcast, your home for all things man, husband, and father. Big shout out to Fallible Nation. That's our private community. There's more about that in the show notes or in the description, whatever you're watching on whatever platform. And a warm welcome to our first time listeners. Hey, we know there's a lot of options out there. So thanks for taking the time to check us out. I hope you enjoy the show. Be sure to leave a comment, a review, reach out to me at the Fallible Man on any social media platform. And let us know what you think of what we're doing. We'd love to hear from you. My name is Brent. And today, my special guest is entrepreneur and author, Ron Early. Ron, welcome to the Fallible Man Podcast.
Thank you, my man. I appreciate you having me on this morning.
Ron, we like to start off nice and easy. So how's your trivia skills?
This early in the morning? I guess we're going to find out. We'll see how sharp you can get me.
How many islands are there in the Hawaiian island chain? Is it A, 107, B, 7, C, 48, or D, 137?
Let's roll with B.
B, 7. Okay. Now, guys, you know the rules. Don't cheat. Don't skip ahead. And just make your guess. And for God's sake, please don't stop and write it down. If you're driving, just remember. Now, Ron, I like to start the same way. I don't want to read accolades, people. That bores the crap out of people. In your own words, today, in this moment, who is Ron Early?
Ron Early is an entrepreneur, father, and husband that has one goal and one mission, and that's to leave a legacy behind, and that's leave a purpose and a vision and have people follow a path that if I was no longer here, they'd have a plethora of material to go through. They'd have a guide. They'd have a direction. And that goes for every employee that works inside the business underneath me and my wife and my kids.
Okay. If you had to eat just one meal for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Ooh, biscuits, gravy, and chicken tenders.
Ooh, that's a good choice. I like that.
Yeah.
Nice.
Oh, yeah.
If you could have any superpower, what would it be and why?
Oh, man, this was a four-hour conversation with my wife the other day. That's tough, man. I'd have to say fly.
Okay. You just like being high or up in the air?
Not
saving anymore. Time?
Maybe a little bit different. I think it's a matter of just being able to get around and do something that nobody else can really do. And also one of the very, very most surreal moments in my entire life was skydiving. So I can't imagine what that would be like without having to depend on a parachute.
Okay. If you could have dinner with any historical person, who would it be and why?
I'm a big wisdom buff. I'd probably say if I could sit with Marcus Aurelius, that'd be a guy that I would choose.
Okay. That would be an impressive conversation.
Very.
What purchase of $100 or less have you made in the last year that's had the biggest impact on your life?
Less than $100. I drink coffee in the morning, man. And I spend that quite often. So I'd say that definitely gets the body going. So let's roll with that.
Okay. If I was to sit down with you and your family at dinner, what funny story would they tell on you?
I would hope that they'd get a story out. I have three psychotic children, all under the age of 6. So getting them to sit that still long enough to tell you a story might be the most impressive thing out of the whole entire situation. I don't know, man. I don't know what funny one would come out. I honestly would. Now I want to ask just to see what they say. Yeah, that's a to-do tonight.
There we go.
I like that.
How long have you been married?
4 years, and I've been with the same woman for the last 11 years, but married 4 years.
Hey, y'all are together, right?
Yeah.
That's awesome. You have three kids?
Yeah. Yep. My oldest is 7 in February.
They're all under the age of 6?
Yep.
Yeah. Wow, you have a busy household.
It's chaotic. I wasn't lying, man. So, yes, getting them to sit that long to tell that story really would be a little crazy. My oldest, honestly, he's the most wild. He turned 7 February. My baby girl just turned 3 last week. So it's been, December gets a little cluttered for us.
I bet.
Yeah.
What's one totally random fact people don't know about you?
I'm a big anime nerd.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. Huge.
Okay.
Huge. And I'm like, not proud of it. I don't really care if people know. Like, some people might know. They get, you know, hearsay, I guess, sometimes on social media, but we don't really talk about it a lot.
You have a go-to?
I mean, there's nothing wrong with having, you know, Dragon Ball in the picture. I got me and my kids already on my coffee mug doing our thing in our outfits. So, yeah.
I dig it.
Yeah.
I like it. What's something everybody should know about you before we dig into today's subject matter?
Specifically about me, I would say, regardless of how crazy, you know, my past has been or what things have been thrown my way, I've gone through a lot of shit. Pardon my language, but to have three kids and have a thriving marriage and to go from scraping change, trying to figure out how to afford baby formula to running this massive investment company with 100 plus, you know, employees, 700 investors, regardless of what you come through or what you go through or what you want, it can all be thrown at you at once. You can figure it out. If I could figure it out, you can figure it out.
Okay. Guys, we've been spending just a little bit of time getting to know who Ron is. And the next part of the show, we're going to dive into entrepreneurship, success, and relationships. We're going to roll out our sponsor, and we'll be right back with more from Ron Early. How well do you sleep at night? Do you toss and turn and wake up more tired than when you went to bed? Sleep is commonly one of the critical elements people fall short on in their life. The quality of sleep you get directly affects your ability to control your weight, your ability to add muscle, your stress levels, and your everyday job and life performance. If you're ready to move to the next level, then sleep has to be part of the plan. Check out our friends at ghostbed.com if you're ready to get your best sleep. I love my ghost bed. I've been sleeping on one for a couple years and has made a huge difference in how I sleep. Hit ghostbed.com and use the code thefallibleman30 to get 30% off your order and start getting better night's sleep tomorrow. Now, let's go on to the show. Guys, welcome back. In the first part of the show, we spent some time just getting to know who Ron is a little bit and getting a picture of his life. In this part of the show, we're going to dive into entrepreneurship, success, and relationships. Now, Ron, before we deep dive, tell us about your journey. You mentioned that you'd come from a place with scraping by, nothing, and now you're running a very successful business. Congratulations, by the way. That's awesome.
Thank you.
So tell us a little bit about your journey.
Ooh, you know, where do you start? You know, ironically, I actually started in a very similar place as you. I know that you said you come from a fitness background. And I graduated weighing 121 pounds. So I was a very, very small. I hit puberty like last week. It took me forever to get around, you know, get around to it. And the whole idea was volunteer, become a firefighter. And unfortunately, I had to worry about carrying this 180-pound, 220-pound dummy. And it was, you know, twice my size. So I ended up moving out and living with my uncle in California for a little while. And he kind of just taught me the fundamentals of bodybuilding. He's a big bodybuilding coach out there. I ended up falling in love with bodybuilding. I and ended up going back to school for exercise science because it's something that it's some like something I loved and something I wanted to do. And after being in school for less than a month, I got offered a job back in Florida to come train. And I'm like, why would I go to school for the next 4 years to get the job that I could go do right now? And at the time, there was this gym that was blown up, and it was, you know, it's commercial gym. It's called UFIT, and they kind of fizzled out now. But when I came back, the irony was I could work as a trainer and I didn't need a degree, but in order for you to get people to train clients, these directors actually had to have an exercise science degree in the company. I was there for 24 hours before our director got fired. So I had nobody in the gym to get me clients after explaining, you know, to my family, this is why I dropped out of college. Now I don't have clients. It was a little bit of a headache and almost a little bit of a nightmare. So I just, you know, I did what I needed to make some money. And I did a lot of floor pooling. And that's how I got my, you know, my first clients. We had 12 different gyms that were in that community, that vicinity. And it ended up being the highest grossing gym in the vicinity, which didn't make sense. And it drew a lot of attention to me because we were the only gym in that district that didn't have a director. So for us to have the highest amount of sales with no director, it didn't really make a lot of sense. And long story short, I ended up creating a position inside the company where they have this thing called a DIT, director in training, where you no longer needed a degree. You just needed to train for X amount of time and you get that spot. Then 2 years, I was running the state of Florida and I was traveling up and down the state of Florida, teaching other trainers that were twice my age how to sell personal training, trading all of my hours for not enough dollars. So, you know, it got to be a little bit of a headache, but that's really where the whole sales division of my career started, was backing out of that and talking to my wife about how I never really got the chance to be home with her or do anything that we wanted to do. And we just decided that at this 21-year-old age of making six figures that I could just walk away and do my own thing. And then 48 hours after I quit, I found out that I had a baby on the way. So that was also seemed like the worst timing in the world to step away from a job and make such a big decision. And we, you know, we did our best to be responsible. I had $38,000 set aside, and I remember we were going to put a deposit on a home and I wanted to furnish the home. I wanted to be ready. I ended up getting a spare bedroom with my parents for the time being, moving back across Florida until, you know, we had that house locked down. And, the biggest thing that I knew studying in entrepreneurship was you always want to bridge a gap, right? You got to fix issues. And wherever there's money being drawn, there's money to be made. And we had one of the fastest growing cities in the entire U.S., in Sarasota, Florida. So I wanted to get involved with, you know, what can I do in construction? Where can I employ other people? Where can I start to expand a business and find a way to work in it at the same time? So there's a big thing with humidity down here, and you have to do a type of polishing on concrete, which no concrete guys wanted to do. And there was a big expansion going on with it. So I decided that that's what I was going to do. And I ended up hitting this landmine of a job with this contractor in a place called Boca Grande. And I didn't know what to do at the time, because anybody that's in a business, if you go to the bank or you try to get a loan, they tell you you need two years of business history. Anybody that's been in business, you guys know exactly what I'm talking about. Sometimes it is a pain in the neck. And in order for me to buy this floor grinder, I couldn't rent one anymore to do all these houses, these units. I actually had to buy one, and it was going to cost me 24 grand with no credit to be able to get it. So there goes 2/3 of my money. Explain to my wife, hey, financially, we can make this money back and I can actually multiply it by 4 in the matter of 3.5 months. It makes sense. I called up my uncle, had my uncle quit his job, came to work with me. And I am pooling this $24,000 grinder with this $1,200 broken down F-150. Don't even know if it's going to make it. It was horrible, with this giant smile on my face, because I did it, figured it out. You know, I was on a roll. Show up to the job site Monday morning, contractor got fired. We lost all the jobs. I know.
Wow.
I know, man. It's kind of like one of those things where it's like, how does it possibly keep getting worse before you hit? And, you know, like any other gym rat, before I went home and had to explain to my wife that I royally screwed up and couldn't figure out or explain why, I don't think it ever really dawned on me before that people that don't work, people that work day jobs, they're not in the gym, you know, on a Monday morning, Monday afternoon. You know, I'm just trying to blow off some steam, took a couple scoops pre-workout, did my gym bro thing, you know, and I had this guy that just kept tapping on me and following me around, and I wasn't trying to be rude. I just wasn't in the right headspace. And it was almost like he was kind of getting offended because I didn't know who he was. I had no idea who he was at the time. And I guess he was like some, you know, local internet celebrity, which we don't have those in this area. At least we didn't at that time at all, especially this whole social media buff thing. And eventually I'm like, hey man, I think you want to get that, because I kept hearing the notification go off. And he's like, oh no, man, this is what I do. And he turns his phone around and he shows me this thing on Amazon. And he's just racking up sales. Like literally the whole time we're having this conversation. Now, I've dabbled in eBay before in the past, so I knew the model worked, but it wasn't like livable income. It was like side hustle income. What he was showing me in volumes though, and you know, as far as like numbers went, I was like, this is a full-time job. Like this is something scalable. I was in no place after losing that amount of money to even have that thought go through my head at all. And this guy's like, hey, I do this through the weekends. It's a 3-day training. We do Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then we do a follow-up for the next 4 weeks. It's $10,000. We do a mentorship. So here I am with my 36 grand in my spare bedroom with my parents, had 36 grand to get the house, spent 24 on a job that just flopped, now pitched the other $10,000. I went down to $2,000 in a matter of 72 hours, and had that conversation with my wife, and lo and behold, that's how the Amazon career actually started to kick off. So it wasn't the prettiest beginning at first. And to be honest with you, I even had my hiccups in Amazon. There was some borrowed money that got held up and tied up because it was not in his program, go figure. But it also turned into one of those things, like I think I realized as a coach later on, which I'm sure you understand this with you being a teacher, can tell people things all they want, but if there's not like accountability there, a lot of times they just don't follow through with it. I followed up with him like 5 or 6 days later, and I let him know how well it was going. He's like, hey, you gotta slow down, man. I'm like, what do you mean I gotta slow down? I just went from being broke, I'm trying to make all this money back, I just paid you all this money, it's working, why would I slow down? The very next day after he sent me that message, I got hit with a violation, and they held my money for 62 days. Yeah. On Amazon, they call it a velocity review. Dude, it's just, there's only so many punches you can take sometimes before you feel like you really want to tap out. But it worked, and I saw the money being held there. And I think that's when I wanted to dive into more education on how that business model worked. And we kept our relationship, me and Tommy, the guy that I learned from. And he started this whole automation practice about a year later, but he had all these people that were still trying to come to him for mentorship. And he sat down with me and he's like, hey man, I know you guys are running your own big operation. And at that time I had my own store, my wife had her store, and it's very much a full-time job operating when you're doing wholesale. But I don't trust anybody else to pass these people over to for a mentorship. And I think that you should consider doing mentorship. Very first three people that I mentored was one of the fastest I ever wanted to walk out of something in my entire life. I learned you don't take payments on PayPal. Don't ever take credit cards because people charge them back. And it's the very first time I ever had a photoshopped wire. So it was a little bit of it's monotonous sometimes going through things and just trying to deal with good people. So you start setting up your own parameters, and it's just kind of like one of those things in the trade where you learn. You know, you really want to sift out good people from bad people. Not all money is good money.
Mm-hmm.
Because 2 weeks later, I went in with this other group of people, and I had this gentleman named Caden. And this is the story that really, like, it whacked me over the head, and I knew, like, this is the direction I really wanted to take this. I came from this place where I was trying to figure out and how I was going to afford just to take care of my family. And I found out about a week before Christmas, I got a phone call from this man with his wife, with him crying over the phone, just telling me, you know, thank you. You have no idea, you know, everything that you did for me and what you did for us, what you did for our kids. We weren't supposed to have Christmas presents. There wasn't supposed to be a Christmas tree. I didn't know how we were going to afford food. I applied to 11 different places to get the loan to even do the mentorship with you. And I just want to let you know it worked out. I have my family coming over for Christmas. We put food on the table. We have a Christmas tree. And they're sending me pictures of it as they're telling me on the phone. And I'm like a grown man trying not to cry and not want to take this phone call this late at night. And all of a sudden, it just like clicked. I'm just like, this is what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to figure out how to help people make money and get out of this. I'm not the only person that was in this position. So if I have a gift and I have knowledge and there's a way that I can spread it, I need to utilize it and I need to help people. And that was the moment that it changed everything.
I love it. I love it. I love it because it makes it so clear, right? I see those memes every now and then about, you know, the path less taken, right? And everybody thinks, you know, stress or success is a straight line, and they miss all the mountains and holes. Yep. And your story illustrates that just incredibly. I was sitting there going, oh my God, something else? Really? Again?
There's so many things in between where it's like, damn, that sucks. That's so bad. Yeah. At one point, we're like, this could be an entire TV series. This is crazy.
Right? Yeah. Tell us a little bit about your business now, what you actually do.
Yeah. So it's grown from teaching individually into opening investment opportunities. I'm big on asset creation. And I think that, we live in a time now where digital assets are just as important as any physical asset. And there's such a thing as digital real estate and wholesale, which is a massive market. You know, every day we're going to places like Walmart buying groceries or everyday items. And it's silly to not find a way to create that same thing for yourself and grow that asset class. If you're going to purchase those products, why not profit off of them? It's never going to go away. You know, consumerism is always going to be here. So do I just want to keep giving it to a giant, or do I want to take my own piece of the pie, and do I want to learn how to run the system? And it, it works for us because specifically in Amazon space, they have to follow FTC policy, which is Federal Trade Commission. And, obviously in the US, we're not supposed to be able to monopolize anything, despite what some people might think about some businesses. But they just got hit themselves, and they're an absolute titan in the business world. So if they get hit, they're absolutely not going to let, you know, people that actually sell on their platform as a third-party seller do even a fraction of what they're not allowed to do. So it makes the most sense for me to get investors on here, start storefronts from them, and then I'll use their capital. We do a direct profit split. And now I don't have a ceiling, and you technically don't have a ceiling, and I can just have my team do the work. So it's a regrowth and reflip based off of everyday products. It's just, we don't go retail to retail. I buy it at wholesale freight. We move it into our warehouse, and we'll repackage it with your store name on it. We send it into Amazon, and it qualifies for their 2-day shipping.
Okay. Now, one of the things I saw on your social media that caught my attention was, right, you've got your family, you've got this business going, and you've got all kinds of stuff happening. Do you only sleep 6 hours a night? Is that what I saw?
Hilarious. I try. The three kids under six, sometimes they get in the way of that. And it just really just depends too. I have two bullies at home, pit bulls, and they're cuddle bugs too. So even though I kick them off the bed, they end up back on the bed at some point, somewhere in between the hours of like 2 and 4 a.m. So it depends if I got a kid sleeping on my back or one on my head, or if I have a dog on my legs. Chances are the 6 hours is a full 6 hours.
But you aim for 6 hours.
I aim for 6 hours.
How do you maintain the energy to keep going day after day?
I think I just have certain things, man, that I look forward to, honestly. I mean, even getting my brain firing sometimes, it does take the caffeine that we were joking about, you know, first thing in the morning. But it's also really hard not to when I have two little boys and a little girl that are excited to see me first thing in the morning, whether that means like they just want to cuddle in bed and watch cartoons, or dad goes and gets them chocolate milk. I'm driving into work. I have all these people that are counting on what we have going on. And I'm hearing all these things that our company is doing in the space that nobody else is doing. And that's just a motivating and driving factor. It's just like, why would I ever slow down or stop if I'm doing all the things that nobody else can seem to do? Then I come back home to it, and it's daddy's home, daddy's home, daddy's home. And the body slams happen. The tables, ladders, and chairs come out with the boys. You know, I'm playing Tea Party with my little princess. And it's, I don't really know that I need time to slow down and rest right now. Like, I'm going to figure it out, but I also don't want to lose that. I don't want to sacrifice any of that. It's all very much worth it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I would never disagree with you on that. Mine are 9 and 11. The oldest is getting ready to turn 12 next month.
Congratulations.
But I still, like, that's like the best part. If I've been gone, coming in that front door, I still got two little girls just going, "Daddy!"
Yep.
And, right, that's like the best feeling in the... If you don't have kids and you're listening to this, one day, if you choose to have kids, I promise you, like, that's the best feeling in the world.
It really is. You can't beat it.
It's such an incredible high.
Yeah, man. It's one of the most incredible things that you'll ever experience in your life.
To have somebody who genuinely, besides your dog, who is genuinely that excited to see you.
Yeah. Yeah, we're actually cracking up about that. Because that, you know, your pets have their own way of doing it too. And I was just watching the movie Pets with my kids. And obviously the pets are the ones that have the vocals, but the owner walks out and she comes back like 5 seconds later and she's like, "Oh, I forgot my keys." And the dog's like, "Oh my God, you've been gone for so long. Don't do that to me ever again." Just like running, spinning in circles. And I'm like, man, that is, that's both my boys to a T. They're daddy's boys too. So dad's got a full house when he comes home. It's fun. There's never a dull moment.
So with all that, and because you don't want to miss that time and your business, do you have like a plan? I don't want to say a secret, but what's the plan? How do you make sure you're maintaining those healthy relationships with your wife and kids?
I really spun a lot of circles on what I was doing right and trying to figure out how I could reteach and communicate this to other people. And I think it just boils down to the same thing with entrepreneurship, and it's intention and time. I don't think that balance is the way that people make it out to be. Balance isn't balance, and it's not weighed in the amount of time where it's diversified in different sections. It's having time allocated in certain sections. And when that time is allocated, they're all intentional. Like if I go home, my phone's away. And before I even got into the habit of my phone just being away, I wanted it out of sight, out of mind. I'd leave it in my truck. So when I'm there, I'm not going to put it in my drawer. It's not going in my dresser. I'm not putting it on the charger. You know, no one's going to get set on fire. The building's not going to burn down if I don't answer people back for the next 2.5 hours. My undivided attention goes there. And I always get a date night in with my wife every single week. And outside of that, I mean, I make sure like we're talking throughout the day. I'm sending her things throughout the day. Like it's about making somebody, you know, feel valuable in your life. And I think that that's another reason why a lot of relationships and marriages, they just don't work out, because you get to this point of like comfort and complacency. It's kind of crazy when you think about it, because if you first get with somebody and you're in this whole honeymoon phase, you seem like it's crazy in love and it's all crazy exciting, right? But if I'm growing with a person and things are supposed to be getting better, over time, it should become more special, which means you should do more in order to keep that and create that. But it actually is kind of like opposite. You just expect it, but nothing ever happens. And that's why it starts to deteriorate. So I think it's just really important that you pay attention to things like that throughout the day and you prioritize that through the week.
I love it. It takes most people a long time to learn that. I've been married for 22 years, going on 23 in April, and we didn't start having date night till last year. Like when we were first married. Yeah. But we went years and years without date nights, especially once the kids were born. Yeah. And I don't have a lot of regrets in my life, because I think all the choices you make kind of define you. And if you change that, it's not you.
Yeah.
But that is one thing I wish I clued into earlier, was still prioritizing that date night and making that a priority every week with my wife.
Yeah. I get it, man. I get it. And it seems like it could be very difficult too, especially when you have kids that are in the picture. But I think it's important too for people that are even listening to this that are trying to get a takeaway from it. Date night doesn't always have to be what you think it is. Like, you don't always have to go out. Sometimes it's just having plans already set up for your, you know, your girl, or understanding what it is that she likes. That way, when you do come home, it's already laid out. Like, my wife's very much a homebody. So I could pick up sushi on the way home and grab a movie and have just anything else, you know, that I want to tack in and set up. Just something that's one of her favorite things to do, as long as that time's with her. And I took a little bit of extra time to make it a little bit more special and worth it. That's really what it's about.
What's the best date night? Just totally off cuff. What's the best date night for you guys? For your wife, what does that look like?
You know, we live in one of the nicest beaches in the world. Siesta Keys, I think, is ring number two. I love being able to go out and just do something like a picnic setup and go sit on there and talk, because it's, you know, we're away from everything and it's just, it's me and her time. If she were to say it, she's also an anime nerd. It would be me grabbing sushi, going home, and us binge watching, you know, some anime. And it just, as long as we had that and we had that breakaway, she's very much about it.
And I love that you know that. People, right? Everybody's incredibly different, right? Y'all's ideal date night, totally different than me and my wife.
Yeah.
What you guys know what she wants and what that looks like for you guys. And husbands, if you're listening, key in. You know what your wife wants.
Yeah.
Prioritize it.
Yeah, man. I absolutely agree. And you should pay attention to little factors too. Like, my wife will tell you that she hates flowers. It doesn't stop me from ever getting them for her. It's because it's a matter of a thought, you know. Just take the time to do it, man. It's not going to make anything. What's that?
Have you gotten yelled at for it yet?
Oh, yeah. Without a doubt. Of course I have. Haven't we all?
My wife, our checkbook. And I bought her a floor, like a dozen roses. Nice floral arrangement. I had it delivered to her. Oh, my goodness. I got chewed out for sending her flowers. You know how much those cost? Yeah, honey, I paid for it. I know how much those cost.
As a matter of fact. Oh, so true.
My wife's very practical. She's like, you know, there all the things we could have done with that money. Yes. But you're that important, so that's okay.
There we go. That's it.
And she's like, never again. Just don't. I was like, yeah, okay. That's never going to happen again.
Wink.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
I love it.
Like, I'm totally not doing that for our anniversary. Totally. You know,
no, of course not. It would never make that would be just asinine.
That's awesome. Do you have the nice pictures yet of you and your daughter during a tea party?
I mean, nice pictures being on an iPhone, try to capture in the moment. She gets super, super not about anybody interrupting daddy daughter time. So, as soon as anybody walks in, even if my wife tries to take pictures, she's got her dad. She's like, no, get out. Get out. Get out. Get out. It's adorable, and I love it. She makes me proud, I'll tell you that. But maybe at some point in the future, I might be able to set a Sony up or something and just kind of keep hitting the corner. Make it look a little bit better, you know?
Now, Ron, you're telling us we can do this, right? One of the things that I loved when I was digging into you before the show and looking at what you have to say about things was that this is possible. You can have a successful business. You can have a good income. You can have a healthy, happy family. You can do that all. There are so many people who say it's not possible, but you're proving it is.
Yeah.
Do you have a system set up that helps you hold all this in place, or?
It's priorities, man. And it's scheduling. And I'm terrible when it comes to scheduling. I've gone through quite a few people just trying to run the role of assistant, which I absolutely hate it. And I don't blame them, because I'm a pain in the ass to work with sometimes. That's why I don't want to do it for myself. But the truth of the matter is you can squeeze so much into such little time. You have more time throughout the day than you think that you do. And it just goes back to that whole intentional thing. And the biggest and most successful you're going to create is being the most intentional that you are with your time. So if you put that into your, you know, your work scope, even if it's going to the gym, like I was in the habit of when I was doing personal development, I'm looking at empty time now for a drive to the gym and then drive back. You got 15 minutes there, I got 15 minutes back, and I got 30 minutes in my audiobook. And all I got to do is screenshot or take timestamps on my Audible. I can go back and I can write my notes. That takes me 5 minutes. I just gained my 35 minutes, well, 30 minutes back, and I've already got the first part of, you know, personal development and education done in the morning. But you take micro windows in there in lost time, like the amount of meetings that we have where we're running like 90 minutes and didn't need to be 90 minutes. Some of them could have been an hour, or these half hour meetings, which really could have been done in 10 minutes. It just needed to have details and like a plan of action involved. Like, you can squeeze and juice so much out. And then your plate doesn't feel quite as full when you do get a little bit more intention done. It honestly gets to a point where sometimes you get so detailed, like it's 11 a.m., maybe noon at that point. You're like, fuck, I got a lot done. I don't really know what else I'm supposed to do for the rest of the day. There's been days I've gone home in the middle of the day. I've went and took my kid out of school early just because I could and I wanted to. And he's like, why did you pick me up? Because I wanted to. Just a matter of making things happen, man. Details matter. That's what I'm going to say. And if you don't think that you can get it all done, or if you think it's because you work 12 hours a day and 14 hours a day, even if you only had an hour when you came home, just make the hour intentional until you figure out how to fix the 12 to 14.
All right. Guys, we've been discussing entrepreneurship, success, relationships. Actually, we didn't dig very far into success, so I'll circle back to that. In the next part of the show, we're going to dive into tips for building the life that you've always dreamed of. We're going to roll our sponsor, and we'll be right back with more from Ron Early. I'm calling on all men right now to stand up and stand against this horrific crime. It is estimated that over 300,000 children are being sex trafficked in the United States alone every single day. I want you to get on your social media. I want you to follow savinginnocence.org or fightforme.net. Both of these charities are working to end child trafficking in the United States and abroad. You can donate at www.thefallibleman.com/shop and buy our End Human Trafficking merchandise, and all proceeds will be given indefinitely to savinginnocence.org. You can also go to www.savinginnocence.org/donate and donate directly to Saving Innocence. Men, it is time for us to fight and stop this horrible thing known as human trafficking. Welcome back. In the last part of the show, we discussed entrepreneurship and relationships. In this part of the show, we're going to touch on success for a few minutes and what that actually looks like and tips for building the life you've always dreamed of. Now, Ron, let's define success. Because a lot of people, we all have the lotto dreams, right? A lot of money, that's success. What is success?
It's a loaded question, man. I mean, success is always going to be something different to every other person. And the reason being is some people can find complacency in just having a few different things run for them and living their life the way that they want to. And then success for other people is actually showing up to a place that you want to work every day. And it's constant growth. It could be balanced with, you know, your family and having that time and relationship with your wife and kids, like we were just talking about. Tell you one of the things that became very surreal to me and very apparent. I had a buyout opportunity for the thing that I'm doing to where I could probably walk away and retire for the rest of my life. But success to me is being able to teach my kids and have them involved with what dad does so I can teach them life lessons as they grow up. If I get rid of this, I have to start over. It's not success to me. They're at an age where they're already understanding. You know, I just had 80 investors come out to our office about three weeks ago. I flew them out here to do kind of like an office and warehouse immersion tour so they can get a chance to meet the team and see the operations, understand what they're getting involved with. And it's the first time that my six-year-old son got to see dad give a keynote. Had I sold this, I wouldn't have that available. That's success to me. You know, really, I really wanted to have my kids see their dad talk. And, you know, it's been a little bit since I've even done a speaking event, but the fact that it was done on my own stage and not on somebody else's, that's success to me. It's not something I want to walk away from. So it's, you got to find that balance. It's not a monetary value. It's a feeling and knowing what you want. That's success.
And that's why I asked the question, because it is a loaded question, right? Yeah. I love the honesty in that answer. Success is not just a cold definition.
It's not. It's really not. You can feel successful based off the amount of money that you make, but it's a good chance you wake up tomorrow and for whatever reason you don't feel successful anymore. You could have let the one thing go that makes you feel successful.
Now, I love big takeaways. And one of the things that's become apparent through our conversation is you are really intentional about scheduling your time. And I don't know if you call it block scheduling or exactly how you want to define it, but you're very intentional about your scheduling to get all this in. So, you know, your calendar is obviously important to you, including your calendar. How do we as men start building those lives, right? Obviously, scheduling is important. So how do we start getting in all those things we want to get in, building, whether it's career, whether it's family, right? Let's start with the how to start fitting things in.
Yeah, I mean, the number one thing that you have to do first is, I would say, start journaling. And the reason why I say journaling is it's easy to keep track of your day and thoughts. And if you're honest in journaling, and fat people laugh about this and call it like a grown man diary, cool, if that's what you want to call it. Now we're talking about being intentional, and I'm talking about you being productive. If you want to be productive, you should understand how you feel throughout the day. Because if you're feeling things throughout the day, that means you're missing something, and you have to add those things into your schedule before you can build it. So I would get intentional about that, figure out what those feelings are. If there is something missing out of the day or something you wish you were doing, we're going to figure out how we add it into the schedule before we start to create it. And then that's when I would start to time block with things that are accessible. You can get on Google Calendar and everything's color coordinated. You can label those colors based off of the way that you want to, you know, break it down. It could be work time. It could be exercise time. It could be educational time. It could be wife time. It could be kids time. It could be whatever label you want to give it and whatever color you want to make it. It could be all color coordinated. And those things that you write down in that journal that you want to fit in those time slots, it's easy for you to section off where you block those things through time. It's not easy the first time that you do it. It could take you 3, 4, 5 days to get it right. It could be ever changing, and 2 weeks later, you still have to change it around. But it's more about having it scheduled. That way you have a physical way of looking at it. That way, as soon as you start to go off just a little bit, it's easy to pick back up the pieces because now I have a schedule to go off of. The point is just having a detailed schedule to begin with. And most don't.
Can I ask, do you actually schedule time with your kids? Like, I've been mocked because I schedule time with my kids.
Yeah, absolutely. I do. Yes.
Yeah. They have like blue color on there.
Yes. Absolutely. My kids, yes.
The fact I have one.
Oh, go ahead.
What are the AMS frames or whatever that sits in my office where you can see my calendar.
Mm-hmm.
And they love, they can look at my calendar and go, that's our time. Like, they can see that time block. They know it's coming. And they can pull up my calendar on any device and see when we're doing stuff.
I don't think that's a bad thing. I know that probably get some scrutiny for even saying this, and I'm sure we'll get some fun comments towards it. But the truth of the matter is the same people that complain that you block off time for your kids are the same people that complain they don't know how to fit in time with their kids. So.
I just had to ask. It's like, oh, good. Somebody else who actually does that. Yes.
Yeah.
I met one other person who very intentionally marks off, like, blocks time on their schedule for their kids. And we both just laughed about it because it's like, wow, okay. Someone else who actually does that. You know, yeah. We talk about intentionality. You talk about intentional time with your wife. You got time blocked off for her too?
Yes. They know.
Y'all aren't working.
What's that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
When y'all aren't working, it's like, us. Yeah.
100%. Yes. Yes. Absolutely. And I keep it on my calendar too, because other people have access to it in work. And I told you that I usually keep my phone away anyway, but there are times that I have my phone on me. And if they see that it's like day, night, I still have my phone on me, they do their best not to message me during that time. So it's also not just for me, it's for them.
That's very cool. That's a good culture at work.
Yeah.
That speaks volumes of the culture you're building at your company too.
Everybody's family oriented here. I'm very, very big on that. You know, one of the very first things that I did when everybody started and we kicked off the new year is I had them not just give business goals, but personal goals. And whatever those personal goals were, if there was things that I contribute to help, I did. So, you know, we set out like this whole 90-day plan, action plan of fitness regimentation. We did, you know, diet breakdowns for people that didn't have a plan that they already wanted to follow. And if they need to get blood work and we weren't able to get those things done, we tried to get those things scheduled out, implemented a different business and personal development book and implemented the whole journaling thing. It's about having people that want to show up and be around a community that are kind of in that place where, you know, you grow in entrepreneurship and it's that monotonous, show me who your five friends are and I'll tell you who you are, until you just create the community around the people that you want to be around every day. And then it's hard to not want to go there.
And this is at work. You're doing this with your employees.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you guys, if you're near Sarasota, Florida, and you're looking for a good company to work for, I've never heard a business owner talk about doing this kind of stuff with his employees.
Yeah, I don't know why. And it's funny to me. When we got our got involved with the National Association of Wholesale, we finally, you know, got bridged our way into government. I was seeing all these big billion-dollar CEOs, like guys I felt like I didn't belong in the room with. And I found myself around these circle tables coaching these guys that were like twice my age and how they were supposed to build culture. Like, that was the thing. It's like, no one knew how to build culture. I'm like, be involved. Like, what's so difficult with being involved with your employees? Same thing, intentional. Like, just show you care a little bit. It goes a long way. It goes a long way.
I can't even fathom working for a company like that. Honest to God. Like, I've been working for 27 years now in my life. I cannot fathom working for a company that I actually believe gave a crap about me.
Yeah, that's the sad part of big business. But I think that the truth behind all that is most businesses would really explode and they take off and people would just take a little bit extra time to take care of their employees.
So what's at the root of all this? This is, you've been successful in your business and your family is in a good spot and you're building this incredible culture with your company. What's at the root of this? How do we get there? Because there's something deep that is driving all this. What's at the root?
I had my COO ask me a question and it really struck me before. He bounces around. He works domestic and international. He goes and sees our Columbia team that I have, you know, host the office out there. And, you know, we've really pulled off some crazy things this last year. And he's like, out of every crazy thing that we do, I want to know why I never see you get excited. And I think we've just all gotten to this habit where we all say that stupid phrase, under promise, over deliver. And if I'm constantly under promising and then I over deliver, it's kind of like, well, I set the bar low. If I over deliver, it just kind of feels like it's average and needed to be done anyway. I don't consider it a big thing. So I think I've just changed like this whole ideology around, I want to over promise and over deliver. I need something to leave to impress myself and be like, damn, yeah, we really did that. We pulled it off. We got it done. So maybe people don't have the company that you're talking about or company that you can't fathom, but I don't want a company that people can wrap their head around and they can't fathom. It's so wrong with just wanting different. That's what I want. That's something too I can raise my kids in. You know, my kids grow up and they're like, my dad was a badass. He did it all of it. They should grow up proud of their dad.
And so that culture moves into your home as well with your kids.
Yeah.
Overpromise, overdeliver.
Overpromise, overdeliver.
Guys, we're looking at their lives right now. What are the first three steps they should take to start pulling this all together for themselves?
I'm going to be honest with you. Really just do it in two. You have excuses and you got to find a way to get rid of them. And the only way to really get rid of them is to create actionable steps in doing so. That's really it. Everybody talks about everything they want to do. It's just most of the time they never take the action to do it. And sometimes they don't take the action to do it because they have an excuse for every action that they don't do. It's inverse. Get rid of one, do the other. It is that simple.
I love it. What is next for Ron Early?
I got to look at my schedule. I'm totally kidding. Totally kidding. You know, we had these, it's the irony in this whole thing and in my own mental framing on the overpromise, overdeliver thing. And I think that that's why he was just so surprised that it was just onto the next, onto the next, onto the next. We pulled off in 1 year what was supposed to be 2 and 3 year goals. So I have no idea what the hell it looks like next year, but I'm really excited to find out.
That's not a bad place to be.
No, it's not. It really isn't. I'm grateful, very grateful. So it's going to be one of those beautiful things, man. I think in 6 months, I really might be impressed.
Where's the easiest place for people to connect with you?
I mean, any social media platform. My personal handle on Instagram is SalesGod, but we're Automation Empire across all platforms. And we're currently going through a rebranding. We talked about legacy and leaving things behind. And even though I acquired Automation Empire, I'm very serious about having my kids involved in what we're doing. So I'm actually moving the name to Gray Wolf Investing. And the reason why I'm doing it is because my oldest son's name is Grayson and my second son's Maxwell Wolf. So I just took his first name and his middle name, put them together. And now it's a little bit more personal to me. And we're going to do that, ruled out in January. And it's another one of those things that could be something that I could say that I'm actually thoroughly excited for. It's going to create a marketing headache, but it'll be worth it in the long run.
Now, I know all of you are really stressed out about how many islands there actually are on the Hawaiian chain. And you guessed 7.
I thought that was the 137 one. I'm pretty sure there's like 130, 140, something like that. My bad.
You guessed. Yeah. So your inclination is right. It's 137.
Okay. All right.
So apparently there are 137. Like, I had no idea.
There's a lot.
That's why I answers with the questions, because I know better than just look up the question, because I won't get it right either. It's okay. But yeah, your inclination was right. 137. Ron, if our people listening today, all of the incredible Fallible Nation listening, takes nothing out of this show except for one thing, what is the one thing you want them to hear before we wrap this up?
I just go back and listen to the part, which we've talked about it the whole entire podcast, but pick out the parts about intention and how to be intentional. It'll change the way that you live your life. It'll change your performance. It'll change your relationships, all of it. Like, overall, your quality of life will change if you just get more intentional.
All right. For Ron Early and the Fallible Man, thank you for taking the time to hang out with us today. I hope you enjoyed the show. Better tomorrow because of what you do today, and we'll see you on the next one.
This has been the Fallible Man Podcast, your home for everything man, husband, and father. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss a show. Head over to www.thefallibleman.com for more content and get your own Fallible Man gear.